My worship life started when I was 6 years old. No, I did not grow in a Christian family, but my parents sent me to a religious school anyhow, because in Hong Kong at that time, where I grew up, all the religious school are some of the best school in Hong Kong, and they're either Catholic school or Christian school. So, if you go to RCS, and I know quite a few of you go to RCS, don't complain. It's a good school. So my first experience of worship was actually in elementary school, where I attended a Catholic school at that time. There were a couple of masses a year, but I don't really remember much of that anymore. And later, I attended a Christian school when I went to high school in Hong Kong, and every morning, we had worship service. So if you think you go to church once a week, and that was bad, imagine going to church 5 days a week. So every morning before classes started, we would all line up in an orderly fashion, carry our small little hymn book in our hands, and went into this big auditorium where over 1,000 students would gather for school assembly. And part of the assembly is to worship God. And of course, part of the worship would involve singing hymns and all that. And to me, singing hymns at that time is not about worshiping God or praising Him at all. It was about fulfilling a requirement. It was just part of school. It is compulsory. I cannot skip it if I want to. So what do? Well, teenagers are very creative. So together with a couple of our classmates, we make the best out of a boring situation. You see, a couple of us were actually part of a boys' choir at our school at the time. I know it's hard to imagine, right? Me singing in a choir before, but I was actually singing first bass with my nice deep voice at the time, and the choir. So a couple of us, what we would do, we'd sit in the back every morning and sing our hearts out. And we would use our very loud singing to distract others around us. Oh, we were so bad. We were so distracting that our classmates and teachers from time to time would turn around and stare at us. And the best part is, no one can do anything about it. Because not even the principal could ever fault you for singing praises to God, right? And it was such a blast. That was my first real experience of worshiping God. And then I finally became a Christian in 1990. Things improved a bit in the sense that I did not sing that loud anymore to a point where I would distract others. In fact, I would oftentimes sing with a very soft voice, and I was constantly being distracted by my own daydreaming. For me, at the time, to go to Sunday worship was repetitive, mundane, and boring. And I often find myself counting the number of minutes that I have to endure. I was disengaged. To me, we were singing the same old repertoire of hymns repetitively. And that was not my type of music. I was just going through the motion of praising God as I don't know why I'm worshiping Him. In fact, most of the time, I felt I'm attending a weekly choir practice back in my high school days. But being a responsible Christian, I still attend Sunday worship every week, although I'm usually late. How late? So late that the sermon has already begun, and I didn't even have a chance to sing anymore. Well, all these changed one night, on July 28, 2001. It became a turning point in my worshiping life as a Christian. That night, I was at a concert worshiping. I was totally immersed in the whole experience. I was jumping up and down. I was waving my hands from side to side. I was dancing all night. I was clapping my hands high up in the air like this all night. I was sweating like crazy. I know, right? I don't seem like that kind, but I was so engaged that whole night. In fact, my legs were so sore for the next few days, I can't hardly walk. In fact, I was so high that evening, I was like on drugs or something. And I have trouble sleeping that night, even though I was dead tired. I was so excited and hyper. But the problem is, I was not worshiping God. I was worshiping these guys at a concert at the Pacific Coliseum at the PNE. Now, don't admit you know these guys, because that would just reveal your age. This is my favorite band, and the music is awesome. But my wife would tell you that these guys sing as if they were chanting, just like that. At the time, I even dressed up with my leather jacket and black jeans and Dr. Martens during those years. I know, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff you still don't know about me, so hopefully I have more chance to tell you more about me in the future. But anyway, so the reason why this secular concert has become such a turning point in my worshiping life as a Christian is because this one question popped into my mind that night. Why am I not worshiping and praising God with the same intensity and passion? Something's very wrong here. I call myself a Christian for many years, but when it comes to worshiping and praising God, I was bored and disengaged. I lack the passion to worship and praise Him. And I'm okay with it for many, many years until this question popped into my mind. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me that evening. And I believe the Holy Spirit is asking all of us this same question this morning. Why are you not worshiping and praising God with the same intensity and passion? You have been a Christian for a long time. You have been diligent in coming to worship every Sunday. You sit at the same seat every week. But instead of passionately participating, many of us would come here to sit, to read, to watch, and listen. Perhaps deep in your own heart and mind, you are thinking, this is not my style of worship. I have my own worship style. I don't like the music. I can praise in my own heart. Oh, this is not my real thing. This is not my thing at all. Or perhaps you think that God already has everything and He doesn't really value our praise and thanksgiving. These are all wrong theologies that has become hurdles between God and us when it comes to worshiping Him. To a lot of us, attending Sunday worship has become a passive endeavor. When it comes to praising God, we have become complacent, reserved, and disengaged. You see, the problem is not that we are not capable of showing our compassion. When we really want to show our appreciation to someone, we are totally capable of doing so. We will spend time to pick out the gift. We will spend time packing it, wrapping it nicely, putting a nice gift bag, decorated nicely. You will spend time picking the right words to express your heartfelt thanks and appreciation in the thank you card. You would do all these things for this person just to let him or her know how much you appreciate him. And for the guys, of course, the young guys, remember you are trying now to chase after the girl that you like? I was like that at some point. When you are chasing your wife or then girlfriend, you would do all sorts of silly things to show how much you appreciate her. You are totally capable. You would call her all the time, tell her that she's the best thing that ever happened to your life. You would praise how beautiful she is, how gentle and elegant she is when she speaks, although not anymore. You would buy her the best gifts, and you do not mind one bit spending hours and hours choosing, wrapping the gifts just to see her smile and hope that you would even have a chance of being her boyfriend. And you would do all these cringy things because you love her and you do so with deep passion. The ironic thing is, when it comes to expressing thanks to our God who is supposed to be our everything, we are very frugal and reserved. But nonetheless, God is so good and he understands our struggle and know our limitations. So way back, he has already given a textbook to show us how to praise him in the form of the book of Psalm in the Old Testament in the Bible. And you have read some of these Psalms before. You would notice that the psalmist would often use passionate words to express their thanksgiving and gratitude towards God. Listen to Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Psalm 118. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. In Psalm 138, the psalmist wrote, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. As you can see, there is this repeating theme of thanksgiving with great passion and intensity in the Psalms. God is love, and what the Psalms show us is that we ought to praise God because it is a natural response to the love of God. To put it in a different way, worship is an outward manifestation of an inward passion for God. Last week, Pastor Wilbur reminded us of a story in the Gospel of Luke that illustrates this very important point. A woman who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was at the home of a Pharisee named Simon. She brought with her an alabaster jar of perfume. She came up behind Jesus, weeping and wetting his feet with her tears. She then wiped Jesus' feet with her hair, kissed his feet, and poured the expensive perfume over Jesus' feet to show her extravagant gratefulness and love to Jesus. She was so overwhelmed by the love and forgiveness of God that she had to do something. She had to do something. She did not care how the people around her would view or judge her. Her gratitude and love for Jesus was on full display on all these people in that room, and she did not hold anything back. What she did was her natural response to the love and forgiveness of God. And throughout the Bible, people from all walks of life has worshiped and praised God with the same passion. King David, for example, in the Old Testament, who wrote many of the Psalms, also showed us what it was like to passionately and wholeheartedly to praise and worship God. 2 Samuel chapter 6 recorded the event of David leading his people to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. The ark is very important because it represented the presence of God among his people. David knew at the time how important it is to bring his people back to the presence of God. Let's take a look. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. And it was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when all those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And what the Bible recorded next is really significant. Verse 14, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod." So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord, shouting and with the sound of the horn. So let's all picture this. This is a big deal for the whole nation at the time. God is finally coming back to live among his chosen people. There were exuberance among the people. The king was dancing and the people were shouting and sounding the horn. There was excitement in the air. I mean, when was the last time you see a king or queen dancing out in the open in full display? You never seen Queen Elizabeth do that. And king simply just do not do that, period. But here, David, who is the king of Israel at the time, danced with all his might in the presence of God himself. He is just so thrilled that God is once again back with his people. Although he is the king, he did not wear the king's outfit or a gown. Instead, he chose to wear a simple linen ephod, which at the time is usually worn by priests. In fact, he's so consumed with all the good things that God has done that he's dancing with all his might to express his praise and gratefulness to God. He does not care what other people may view or judge him. David didn't hold anything back, much like the woman who wetted Jesus' feet with her tears and the expensive perfume. His heart of worship is on full display, overflowing into compassionate dancing and celebration. But then things got interesting. Obviously, someone disapproved of what David was doing. And perhaps at some point in our life, we have also shared that same thought. Is all this mumbo jumbo really necessary? This is all too silly. What a waste of time and money. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And she despised him in her heart. Michal, who is actually David's first wife, did not share David and his people the excitement and passion towards the presence of God. She even despised David in her heart. And she probably cares more about the dignity of David and her own reputation, perhaps, more than anything else. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set in its place. Verse 17. Inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. This next part is really, really exciting. We see it in our family all the time. And David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, came up to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honor him today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." Apparently, Michal has shown her deep disrespect and contempt for David. But guess what David said to Michal? "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord." David put God front and center, and he could not care less what Michal think of him. Not only that, he will actually be even more passionate in the future. The Message translated this verse of David's response like this: "Oh yes, I will dance to God's glory more recklessly even than this. And as far as I am concerned, I will gladly look like a fool. But among these mates you are so worried about, I will be honored no end." Listen again to what David said. "Yes, I will dance to God's glory more recklessly even than this. I will gladly look like a fool." My friends, have you ever been so overwhelmed by the love and grace of God that the only natural response was for you to worship Him and praise Him passionately? How we wish we can wash Jesus' feet with our tears of gratitude, just like the woman who anointed Jesus with the jar of perfume. How we wish we can dance like David in front of God with all our might. Worship is an outward manifestation of an inward passion for God. We can worship Him with such deep passion. Last week, Pastor Wilbur reminded us the presence of God is among us this morning. He's not a God sitting somewhere in the universe in his comfortable chair. He is right here, right now. And you know what would make Him glad and joyful? It is to hear our heart pouring out to Him out of deep gratitude and passion. Will you continue to sit on the sideline contemplating about His goodness and faithfulness, or are we going to pour out our heart in praising God? This next song we are going to sing, it is a passionate call to all of us. It is a love letter to yourself to urge your heart and soul to praise God. And before we do that, I would like you to invite you to take a moment to think about what God has done in your life. Would you all rise? I would like to invite all of you to think about the amazing and faithful things that God has done for you, your family, and your children. He forgives your sin. He sent His only Son to die on the cross for you. He shows you kindness and love when everyone would just walk past you and not even look at you. He comforts you when your best friend has betrayed you. He gives you hope when all you can see is total darkness ahead of you. What is that one thing that you are the most thankful for in the last 1 week, in the last 1 month, in the last 1 year? harvest that thankfulness and gratitude. And I want you to pour that passion into singing and praising Him with this song right now, because He is worthy.
It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart for all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy. Your holy name, Lord, I'll worship Your holy name.
hey, Alec, that was great and all. I know we should be passionate about worshiping God. I get that. But sometimes I just don't really feel like it. Perhaps you had a fight with your wife in your car on the way to church, and the worst part is she's sitting right next to you, right at the moment, and you have to pretend that nothing has happened, but you are still angry at her, and she's angry at you. Perhaps you have had a terrible week at school, and you did not do so well on your midterms. You did not get a promotion that you have been working so hard for at work. Perhaps you have been sick for a while, and you're feeling that God is really, really far away from you. So when you come to worship, you are saying to yourself, I'm not really in the mood. I don't really feel like it. The problem is that too many of us are making worship about how we feel at the moment. Theologian and professor Eugene Peterson wrote in one of the books, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, will perhaps shed some light into this subject. Listen to what he says. But very often, we don't feel like worshiping. And so we say, it would be dishonest for me to go to a place of worship and praise God when I don't feel like it. I would be a hypocrite. But what he said is, feelings are great liars. If Christians worship only when they felt like it, there would be precious little worship. Feelings are important in many areas, but completely unreliable in matters of faith. He continues, we think that if we don't feel something, there can be no authenticity in doing it. But the wisdom of God says something different. We can act ourselves into a new way of feeling much quicker than we can feel ourselves into a new way of acting. Let me say that again. We can act ourselves into a new way of feeling much quicker than we can feel ourselves into a new way of acting. Worship is an act that develops feelings for God, not a feeling for God that is expressed in an act of worship. So what Eugene Peterson is telling us is that we have been getting it all wrong. We should be acting our way into feelings in worship, not the other way around. In fact, what he says is that act first and feelings will come. Act first and feelings will come when you're worshiping God. So right now, even if you don't feel like it, you ought to still worship and praise our God. Praise is not about feeling. If you wait for your feelings and emotions to bring you into praise, most likely than not, my friend, you will wait for a very, very long time. Let's be reminded, praise is a choice driven by your passion out of deep gratitude for what God has done for you. So you ought to let your passion for God drive you to worship Him even when you don't feel like it. This is not being a hypocrite at all. You don't need to rely on your feelings to worship God. Emotions and feelings are not reliable. They can go up, they can go down, but as Christians, you can use your passion to drive your worship even when you don't feel like it. feelings are also temporary, but passion endures. Feelings are also temporary, but passion endures. Let me give you an example. Some of you may know that I am a prosthodontist, a dentist specializing in restoring teeth. I'm passionate about fixing and replacing teeth. I know, it's a weird passion. I mean, who would have passion for teeth, right? But I do. It is a passion, nonetheless. So from my day-to-day practice, my feelings and emotions can go up and down. Like many of you, I have my bad days. But those emotions did not affect my passion as a prosthodontist. In fact, it is that same passion that drives me to work every day, even though I know there will be difficulty coming. And this is why we spend so much time talking about developing that passion for God in the first half of this sermon. You see, while emotion feels, passion does. Emotion feels, but passion does. You can sit around all day with your emotions going up and down and not getting anywhere. But passion will drive you to something, to do something about your circumstances. So when it comes to worshiping and praising God, don't rely on your emotion and feelings. Instead, allow your passion to muster your body, your arms and legs to worship and praise God even if you don't feel like it. Psalms talk about the physical nature of worshiping God all the time. Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. We are to clap and shout, and we are supposed to be loud, guys. Psalm 66, verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Psalm 47, verse 6 to 7. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. Move your lips. Open and close your jaw. I'm talking like a dentist here. Move your tongue. Breathe some life into your lungs and make some noise. Come on, guys. Because the Psalms told us that even if you can't sing, you can praise by simply making a noise, given you are joyful. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And don't tell me you cannot sing. We have all sung in our shower, right? There we go. Everyone can sing in the shower. And I know it's easier to sing when you're alone in your own little space with water running down, drowning out all your noise in your mind, and you feel safe. But brothers and sisters, you are safe right here in the presence of God. You are safe right here in the presence of God. God is here. You are free. You don't need to be self-conscious anymore. So for a moment, just ignore the person sitting next to you. You are now immersed in the presence of God. Immerse yourself in the music. Music is a significant part of our worship. Music is meant to connect to our inner core. You don't have to know music to immerse yourself in it. You just need to let the music to flow through you. And here at Koinonia, we are so blessed to have some very gifted musicians and worship leaders to lead us worshiping God. they are not only good, but probably most importantly, they are passionate about worshiping God. They spend no less than 4 to 5 hours a week at least to prepare, rehearse, and serve our God. They experience the power of praise in their lives, and they're literally living it out here every Sunday when they serve. This morning, they will lead us with 2 praise songs as we end our sermon this morning. And I encourage you to muster whatever energy you have this morning and pour it into praising God. Praising God is supposed to be physical and intentional. Don't put your hands in a pocket. It would look really weird if you try to dance with your hands in a pocket. Just let them relax on your side. You can have your palm facing outwards as a posture to receive God. You can raise your arm up with your palm facing up with a thankful heart. You can raise your hand up. You can raise your arms up. You can jump up and down if you want. You can dance. You are free. You're free to use your whole body, your voice, to worship God passionately. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide this morning. Try it. Try it this morning and see what happens. Try it this week. Try it next week. Try it the following week. We sometimes worship as if nothing is going to happen. We don't have any expectations at all. But this morning, would you give it a try? Participate wholeheartedly and see what happens. Put down your self-consciousness and be free. Church, you are in the presence of God. It does not matter what kind of circumstances you are in or what kind of mood you are in. Just use your whole body, your mind, and your soul, and your voice as your instrument of praise. The physicality of it will bring your heart and soul back into the presence of God, even though you don't feel like it in the beginning. Your heart will begin to feel warm, your spirit be lifted, and sometimes tears will come. And those are not tears of sorrow, but tears of joy and gratitude coming from a thankful heart as you are overwhelmed by the goodness and faithfulness of the presence of God in your life. Don't you want to experience that? I wish I can experience that every Sunday as I continue to learn how to worship God. Let's all rise. You are now standing in the presence of the living God. Listen to what the psalmist has to say. Church, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
You, Lord. And are the only one who deserves all the praises.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Oh, we live for you.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Oh, we live for you.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in
trust. We put our trust in you. You are the only one worthy of our wholehearted worship. Lord, no matter what troubles us before this worship, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, lift us up, please, Lord. We are in you. We are in your presence, Lord. May we all learn to worship you from here and now on. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.